I wish I had a guy like him on my team whenever I was playing basketball. Y'all, today's word I got from the Holy Spirit. I'm going to just go ahead and start off by saying, whenever I talk about it, I'm not talking about you. I'm talking about us. I'm the very first one that I'm in the middle of all this whenever I talk about it. This week, I started looking around and different things from work, different things I saw out and on the news and just everywhere. I seemed to just notice something. We're suffering from a really bad epidemic in this country. There's a lack of responsibility. We have, like, my son, some of y'all know, he's a sophomore at BHP, and they actually have a retake policy. If you mess up on a test, it's all right. You can retake it. What does that do to the responsibility level of teenagers? Knowing that they don't really have to study for it, they got a retake, they're good. And I started thinking, what crackpot in Anderson came up with this? And then I started looking, this all over the country. This is all over the country. Now I'm going to tell you something. Ezra and Jency there, if I had failed the test, there would not be a Oh, Lord. That was something I was expected to do. That was my responsibility, my grades. I was expected to maintain them to my capability. They were fair. But if I failed a test because I didn't prepare for it, that was on me. But it's not that way anymore. Crime shows are filled with people that, I did it, but it wasn't my fault. And unfortunately, that's not the case. We have so many people that they do the action, but they don't think about the reaction. What comes after that? And like I said, whenever I say that, I'm right there in the middle of you. I've done things and I have not thought about how it affects and who it affects. And we're all responsible for our own decisions and actions. And God's word says a lot about this. Suzanne, I'm going to try. There we go. This first instance I found, it takes place in Numbers. It's with Moses and the Israelites. They've already been out of Egypt. They were freed from Pharaoh. They were in the desert. And Moses had already, one time the people came where they didn't have any water. And God told Moses, just strike this rock, I'll make it come forth. And he did. Then years later, they were at another point. And God told Moses, this time, I want you to speak to this rock. Speak to it, and I'll make the water come forth. And Moses, for whatever reason, this wasn't Moses' first rodeo. He had seen God make 23 different miracles that were documented in Scripture. 23. The plagues, the Red Sea parting, the manna falling from the sky, the doves. He had seen all that. He had seen God make these miracles happen. He had spoken to God. How many of us have ever actually spoken to God? He had regular conversations with him. He knew he was the maker of heaven and earth, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He knew this. And he had to do one thing. One thing. And it made me think again, Braden's not here, so I'm going to pick on him. Sometimes with teenagers, you tell them, all I need you to do, empty the dishwasher. All I need you to do, just pull these clothes out of the dryer. Put them on the wrinkle release. Now, parents of teenagers, how does this go? It didn't go all that well with Moses and them either. And Moses, he didn't start it off well. He started off in verse 10 talking about, you rebels, shall we bring forth water for you out of this rock. Didn't talk to the rock. God tells you to do something in his own voice. Do it. But he didn't. He struck that rock. He struck it twice. And God made the water happen. He made it came out. He saved the Israelites. But he told Moses and told Aaron, Moses' brother who was right there with him, you didn't believe in me. And therefore, you shall not go into the promised land. Now, to give you context, Moses was probably in his 60s, maybe then. He had been through, born in Egypt, raised as a prince, exiled, sent out into the desert, raised up a whole family, went back to Egypt, acted as the Lord's emissary, brought the people back out, all for the express purpose of going to this land, the land he was promised to. This act, right here, Moses would never set foot in the land of Israel because of this act of disobedience. Bible doesn't say why Moses did it. Some people say it was pride. Some scholars say Moses was prone to violence. Where the reason he broke a direct command from God? He disobeyed God in front of all the Israelites. Actions have consequences. Sinful actions, no different. Jesus, this kind of went out of sync with it, but Jesus knew the price of sin was death. He knew the source of those sins. It wasn't him, it was us. It was all of us. And he couldn't bear the thought of eternity without us. He chose the nails. God chose to come here in man form. We have so much to be thankful for. And we still do stuff, and I'm right there in the middle of it, that isn't what we're supposed to do. And those actions have consequences. Now, Jonah here. And everybody knows the story of Jonah. And God told him to go to the city of Nineveh. And he's supposed to save these people. Nineveh was the capital of the Assyrian Empire. Nineveh was evil. So evil. Even outside sources from the Bible. There was a Greek historian, his name was Herodotus, and Aristotle, a famous philosopher. They all talked about how bad it was. And they had also raided Israel. They had persecuted Israel. And Jonah was like, how are you going to save these people? So he hightails it on a ship and tries to escape God. How many of us have tried to run before? I have. I've tried to run and I've tried to get away. It did not go real well for me. And I must be the radio. Oh, that's okay, Nancy. That's a nice song. I still have my blue jean jacket days. I still have. I was listening to Slippery When Wet the other day. But it's a... But we have those times where God wants us to do something. And it's not fun. I've had times where I've been in airports. And God wanted me to talk to someone. And I didn't want to. Because they looked rough. I was in a hurry. But somehow, some way, I got put in front of those folks. No matter how I tried to get around it, God catches up with you. And he did with Jonah, because once he got on the ship out there, God started making a big storm. And the sailors were like, what's going on? Oh my gosh. And the one that caused all this mess was down there taking a nap. And God's persistent. I've had these Jonah moments. I have. And they had no idea. The sailors on the ship had no idea what was going on. But they were still affected. And sinful actions have the tendency to hurt innocent people around others. And it's a consequence of sin. It is. Jonah, of all this, taking a nap. Jesus Christ died to save us so there'd be no separation. Separation is the ultimate death. But there are still consequences of sin. Even though God died, came to earth in human form, lived as Jesus, died for us, there are still consequences in this world of sin. And we have those. I mean, we grow old. There are weeds in our garden. We deal with storms, stinging insects, all of this. And that came from Adam and Eve's original sin. And the ship crew wanted to find out why. Sailors are extremely superstitious, even to this day. They're very superstitious about everything from their ship's name to omens. And so they cast lots. And guess who got found out? Jonah. He got picked out. It was him that was causing all this. And then when they asked him about it, he came forth. And he said, you know, it's me. My Lord has come after me. And it's hard. It's hard to keep a sinful decision a secret. He was placed in a position where he had no other choice. Sometimes God uses the consequences of our sins, though, to teach us and help us to grow. I've grown more from my mistakes than I have my successes. I have. A person that is real with themselves, we all have scars. We all do. And hopefully you learn from those scars. Like, I was at the Piggly Wiggly, and my first job, Bill and I worked there together. And I had learned very quickly, box cutters are sharp. And I have two or three scars on this right hand that shows that demonstrated that. Hebrews 12:10 says, "For they disciplined us for a short time as it seemed best to them, but he disciplines us for our good, that we may share his holiness." Sometimes, I heard this phrase, sometimes we just don't believe cow horns will hook. And that's how it is sometimes with sin, and sometimes you have to have those consequences of it. And Jonah started having a reckoning. He started learning cow horns will hook with this. And he was telling the people to pick me up, throw me into the sea, and it's going to calm down. He stood up to take action for his responsibility, to take responsibility for his actions. Sometimes we're pushed to the point that we know we can't go any farther. We have to stand up and take responsibility for a ship full of innocent people that we're causing to be in the storm. We may not be on a boat, but sometimes those around us are hurt by our actions, and we have to stand up and take that responsibility. And what's so amazing, these men who didn't even know him tried their best to return to land. They didn't know him. They could have easily. This was a society. This was a time where people sacrificed children. They did animal, human sacrifices. But those men in their hearts, such wonderful hearts, they tried to save all of them. And then they called out, "Lord, we know we got to do this. Please don't put any blood on our hands. We don't want the blood of the innocent." These men showed their heart and their character by trying to save this man. They got them into all this mess. Then they picked him up and they put him in the sea. Without God, he would have been dead. God, in his anger and his frustration, he didn't forget them. He didn't forget Jonah. He could have just and got anyone else. He picked him. Some of you have heard me say this before. God picks from the pit. He don't pick from the palace. They threw him into the sea. But God saved him with that fish. Now, being in a fish's belly for 3 days, not my idea of fun, but it beats drowning. God saved him. God loved him. He disobeyed. There were consequences to his actions, but God loved him. God's not through with him. Like, there may be times where we think that we're so far from God that he will never love us and he will never save us. And we may be going through something that doesn't seem like it's God's intervention. That was God's intervention. Jonah went on to preach to Nineveh. He went on there. This is one of the evilest cities in the world. And they repented. Matter of fact, they repented a little too easy for Jonah, and he got ticked at them because they turned around so fast. He did such a good job. But God was not finished with him. God loved him in spite of all this. At the intersection of sin and forgiveness is the cross of Christ. Jonah occurred centuries before Christ. But with forgiveness, sin and forgiveness, Christ is in the middle of it. Always. Always. Paul had something. To me, he just said it just as plain. For each one will bear their own load. God is not to be mocked, for whatever a man sows, he shall also reap. Paul is very clear. We're all responsible for our own actions, and we're fooling ourselves. If we think that we'll fool God, because I've had times in my life where I have just praised him with my lips and my heart was down the corner somewhere. God wasn't fooled. He was not fooled at all. We sow earthly seeds, worldly seeds. We're going to breed out corruption. We're going to grow that. Garbage in, garbage out. If you sow spiritual seed, you're going to reap spiritual fruit. By spiritual seed, Lord, I done made a mess of things. I have made a mess. I have sinned. I have messed up. Please help me. Please. I want to be someone that is pleasing in your eyes, and I don't even know where to start. If you choose the word over the world, then you can have eternal life. And just remember, when you take God's grace is not cheap. It's free, but it's not cheap. It was bought with nails and a tree. And now I've done, got everybody all perked up. What do we do? Number one, take responsibility. Don't look for somebody else to blame. If it's your action, you own it. Good, bad, otherwise, you own it. And you can think about what if, but it's not gonna, but that's not the world we live in. You done it. It's time to redeem it and own up to your own mistakes. Admit to yourself, I got myself in this mess. Nobody else did. You know, I've had times in my life where I've tried to blame people for different things, and I look back at the very start of it. These are things that I did. I started a lot of my own messes. Two, confess. Repent. Confess. Confessing is agreeing to God. It's agreeing with God that I messed up. I sinned. It's not an accident. It's not a mistake. I sinned. And there's no one in here that can say they haven't. Me, right there, top of the list. Then repent. When you repent, you're telling God, I don't want to do this anymore. I want to turn away from this sin I have. And God's grace, if you accept it, it's not an excuse to do it again. It is not an excuse to sin again. That saying you're going to be perfect? No. But are you going to try in your heart to be better, to be a better person, to to accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior, to help you live a better life. And there are going to be times we fall back. We all are. If you breathe, you are human. You're going to fall back. Pray. Have that relationship with Christ. Go into His Word. Be with others that do the same. You try and make every arrangement necessary to avoid repeating this same thing. And I said before, don't complain. Complaining without a solution is called whining. That was a Teddy Roosevelt quote. And it's true. I've had to use that one on the teenager a time or two, but that's another story. I hope he doesn't listen to this sermon. And you focus on just trying to get right with God. And with that in your mind, you're never going to be perfect. None of us are. None of us ever will be. But Lord, help me to do better. Please, every day. If I have a problem with my tongue, Lord, guide my words. If I have a problem with fear, Lord, give me the courage to speak the words I need to speak. I was praying those this morning. Give me the words to speak that I need to speak. Ask God to help you discover what went wrong. Why am I falling? Why am I doing this? Is it the friends you're with? Is it flawing your thinking? And I'm tell you, I know people that think everybody else is wrong but them. And if it's every single time, I got news for you. Everybody else is not wrong all the time. Some point in time, you got to look back and say, maybe I'm wrong. Is there some fear that maybe you hadn't addressed? Maybe it's something so deep down inside that you're afraid of. And I'm going to tell you, I've dealt with fear. I have dealt with fear. And it is no fun being afraid. It is no fun being afraid at all. Lord, help me to overcome this fear. Or Lord, help me to move in spite of this fear. Help me to deal with it. Is there someone or something in your life that's a constant source of temptation? If they are, you're always going to be prone to that. You're always going to be prone to that fall. And these are tough questions. And I don't say them lightly. You've been around people all your life, and you are so used to doing things. When you make a real change in your life, it's not easy. It is not easy. And sometimes the only way to make that change stick is to remove yourself from that situation that is causing you to sin and fall every single time. I mean, I used to have some good time buddies in my late teens and early 20s, and I realized while I was working second shift at the hospital and I was working third shift at the bars, and that was not a way that I needed to do. And I started removing myself from it. I didn't exactly know I was removing myself from it, but God kind of helped me out in that one. Then recognize sometimes God wants to use adversity in your life. Do we grow from the easy times or do we grow from the hard times? It's a powerful tool. Lord uses it to help a lot of people. I know I'm suffering because of my own doing, but I trust that you will use this time to help me deepen my faith and strengthen my commitment to you. We also want to thank God for revealing our sin. And this is hard. No one likes to admit they messed up. No one, me included. True repentance followed by genuine gratitude. Repentance in when you cry is when you change. There's a difference between being sorry you got caught and being sorry for the sin that you have loosened on somebody else. And God disciplines those He loves, like with Jonah. He disciplined him, but He loved him. He loved him enough to save him and keep using him when He could use anyone to get His message across. And it ain't pleasant. The bumps and bruises are never pleasant. Hebrews 12:11. All discipline for the moment seems not to be joyful, but sorrow. Yet to those who have been trained by it, afterwards it yields the peaceful fruit of righteousness. It ain't no fun going through it, but it helps you come out better sometimes. When you go through it and you recognize that I have messed up, but I see I can do better. And when you understand suffering from God's viewpoint, you can appreciate that He plans to use those trials for good. You look at what He did to Moses. He put Moses through the perfect education to become a leader for His people. He gave him classroom learning from the finest teachers in the known world in Egypt. He gave him experience in a desert environment for decades. Then He brought him back, and He gave him the words to speak to one of the most educated men in the world. If you look back on your life and you see there are times that God's had His hand on your life, maybe preparing you for something. This message was tough for me to come up with because I knew it would probably, it may touch some nerves. And I promise it touched my nerves as much as anybody in here, because I've been Jonah. I've been Moses. I think we all have at some point in time. And sometimes coming to God's house, you're going to hear things that you may not, it may not be what you want to hear, but it's what you need to hear. And that's me included in hearing that. And I'm going to ask, we're about ready to start our songs. I'm going to ask everybody to stand with me and let's pray over this message. Heavenly Father, please take, we're so glad that You loved us, that You love us as flawed creatures. Father, we're flawed. We were never meant to be this way. Sin came into our world through Adam and Eve, and it is spread to all of us. Father, we go out into a world that does not like You, a world that does not want You in it or Your believers. And we are tempted. We are ridiculed when we do stand up for what we believe. But Father, You'll get us through that. You're knocking. All we need to do is answer. Father, I just pray that we be a people that are pleasing and right in Your eyes. And Father, when we do sin, that we'll be able to tell You, Father, I messed up. Please help me to do better. And know that You love us. Know that You are not ever far from us. Ever far from us. You go before us. Always. In Jesus' name we pray. Now, if there's someone this morning that it is on your heart that you don't want to be in the cold anymore, that you are just so tired of fighting this fight, all these mistakes, and they're so piled on top of you that you don't even know which way to turn, you're not the only one. And it is so hard to know which way to go. It starts with prayer. Father, I have sinned. Father, I need You in my life. I know that You came to this world in the form of Jesus Christ. You lived and You died for me, and You arose. You are resurrected, and You have ascended into heaven. I believe that, and I want You to be the Lord and Savior of my life. I want You to walk with me, Father. I want You to guide my hands and words and actions, and it don't have to be that pretty. Just, Father, I messed up. I want You in my life. I want You in control of my life. All these things in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.